Croeso I Amplify. Welcome to Amplify, stories about youth music in Wales. Straeon am gerddoriaeth ieuenctid yng Nghymru. This month, we have a special episode focusing on musicians from Wales who come from families with Windrush elders. Guest host Alicia Scott chats to Lily Bow about music, families, and the influence of Windrush on her work.
Hello, my name is Alicia Scott. I am a reggae artist and BBC Radio Wales presenter from Cardiff. I am a Welsh Jamaican and I am a grandchild of the Windrush. In this series of the Amplify podcast, I'm going to be talking to Welsh artists who stem from the Windrush, and we're going to talk about how the Windrush has influenced their journeys as musicians and people. So I'm very, very excited to welcome the next guest to this episode. I love this artist and she's a lovely person, but also what a voice. So here we have Lily Bow. Hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
That's okay. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Taking one day at a time, you know, fighting the madness, but great. Really good. How are you?
That's good. I'm good, thank you. Thank you very much for joining. I'm literally so buzzing that you agreed to come and join us. I'm really excited to talk to you. I love your voice. So like, on the show and stuff, I played some of your music. And every time I hear a song from you, I'm just like so in awe of your vocal cords. They're amazing. And even watching you play piano, I've been able to do that a few times. That's amazing too. Like you're just so skilled. But how did it start for you? Where did music come from for you? How did you get into it?
Oh God. Well, music came from my family, I think. My dad's a writer in the kind of theatre side and sense, but he loves words and storytelling. And my mum's, well, they're both actors. God, our family's mental. But they're both actors and mum's, we've always just had like evenings of playing music, whether it's jazz and Etta James and Donny Hathaway or like Melody Gardot and Priscilla Ann.
I can hear all this in your voice.
Oh, I love that.
I can hear it, yeah.
Because absolutely what I just grew up listening to and I love it. And I think when I was 12, they bought me like this plastic Yamaha keyboard. Nice. And I didn't touch it for ages. And then I started to play it and I wrote a song about wanting to marry Daniel Radcliffe, as of you course. Do, of course. And their mum was like, do you want a gig? And I was like, oh, okay, I'll do it. And then at 13, did my first gig at Royal Welsh and just
amazing.
Loved it so much.
What a place to start as well, Royal Welsh.
Oh, it's lovely. Such a like familial place. And because mum worked there, it was so familiar as well. And I'm very lucky. Very lucky they let me.
That's really nice. So was that in the days with your yellow Yamaha, yes. Was that also your first time of like writing and stuff? So did it all start at the same time?
Yes. I think I used to like put on instrumentals on the keyboard and then start to make up words and they were horrendous. I mean, my friend and I once had a song, the lines are literally, why did we ever break apart? My heart is falling to pieces. Why did we ever break apart? Maybe we should fly to Jesus. I mean,
I've heard pop songs with worse.
I'll right? But it was just
it could
so
still be a hit.
It works. But yeah, just I think I was always allowed the freedom to play and amazing. Get things wrong. And that meant that I could just mess up a lot as a kid creatively.
And grow from it.
Yeah, that's it. And just doing that at the piano and singing and learning different ways to sing and tell stories just is my bread and butter. It makes me so happy. So amazing. Yeah, it kind of started there.
Really love that for you. Also, as an artist as well, it's quite a vulnerable thing to be sometimes. So for you feeling comfortable even at a young age to express yourself in like a safe place, that's amazing. Yeah. And I feel like you would have grown a lot from that as well.
Oh, massively. I mean, it's such a cliche, but it was therapy. If I could find a way to word things differently and I was like, oh, that's why you're crying every day. Lovely. This makes sense. So yeah, it was such a gift to receive from my parents.
Do you know what you say about therapy? I often, like, people, once I've sang, probably maybe the same for you, I just kind of feel like a release. And I think about why, and I think, you know, if you feel away and you scream, sometimes you feel better for screaming. So it's just like tuneful screaming, I guess.
I love that tuneful screaming. It's fantastic.
I never realised, like, because apparently it's a scientific thing that once you perform or sing that you do get a release from it. I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know the actual factuals.
I'm taking
it. I feel like that kind of would make sense.
Oh, absolutely. Because you do just, you get it all out, even emotionally. And like, there's a couple of times I've started crying on stage like a mad woman, but it's just because it's been what I've needed.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And you leave and cathartic and you're having, you know, it's just such a spirit lifter.
And you'd probably be, well, not even surprised to see that if you're crying, I bet somebody else in the audience is crying because they're feeling it with you.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the most important bit. And I'm sure you agree. You know, when you look out into a crowd and it's just like that thing where you go, oh my God, somebody understands what I'm saying. And somebody understands these words, or how I've sung that has just hit somebody. Even if it's one, you're just like, oh, thank goodness. Yeah, the connection, that's it.
Gosh. So I'm going to... Small play on words. We're talking about connections.
Yes.
So what is your connection to Windrush?
My connection to Windrush is my grandmother's mother. So my great-grandmother came over from Jamaica, and she, I'm first generation Welsh. So my family actually went to Nottingham first.
Okay.
And she, yeah, she moved to Nottingham in 1960. I think it was the end of November. And she started working out in this like lingerie shop garment place, but her friend had a job at the city hospital. And so they managed to get her in, and she ended up working there for years. And it's actually where my mother then was born. And everyone would look after my mother as a baby because it was where Miss Rennie worked. And she just built this community for herself in Nottingham. And I've got family who are still there today, which is lovely. But yeah, that my, so my great grandmother came over from Jamaica.
Lush. And do you feel, so I don't know how connected you might be to your Jamaican heritage, but do you feel that in some way it's played some kind of part in your musical journey?
It's such an interesting question. I think it's funny. I've battled with it a lot because I'm Irish Jamaican, brought up in Wales. Okay. And so people often question my Jamaican heritage because my mother was also born in England. So they're like, you're kind of like a watered down Jamaican is what I've been told and stuff like that. And I've always felt
in the heart. What's in the heart?
It's in the heart, exactly. But it is that thing where I feel only now am I feeling a bit more courage to embrace my Jamaican heritage. I think that was the main thing that was challenged growing up.
Okay.
That I didn't, not that I avoided it, it just wasn't part of school education. Mm-hmm. You know, I lived in Wales. I understood the Windrush and connection to the, like, Cardiff Bay, but because my family weren't in Cardiff Bay, I didn't realise how connected I was or where we, you know, our family came from. So it's becoming a bit of a new exploration for me, and to kind of understand where my family came from and why they came and how that was and why they then left. I mean, everyone says, you know, my grandmother, my great grandmother hated the cold, and that's why she left after 20 odd years. But, and there's so many,
it makes sense, doesn't it?
I mean, but there's so many like family stories and secrets that I'm so unaware of. And I don't know if you find this because, you know, I identify as Black, I presume you identify as Black. And because people now see us as that, and other people are starting to have these conversations, I'm expected to understand everything about my history. Suddenly, everyone's so keen about my Jamaican heritage.
Must know. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is new for me as well, just because of my upbringing and where I am. And it's this really, it's quite an overwhelming journey that I'm working through, which is lovely.
I think what's also nice is in I don't know if specific of Wales, but I can only talk about Wales because I know. Yeah. Is that there's so many different versions of everyone's journey. So for me, being a mixed race child of Welsh and Jamaican heritage, I did spend a lot of time around my dad's side of the family. So for me, I guess it's kind of slightly different just because my dad's mum, who is from Jamaica, I spent a lot of time with her. So just naturally through conversations of growing up, I learned a lot from my dad's side of the family. And my mum made sure, like, obviously I knew lots of different things as well. But really, I've never thought so much about how you said that. So if you're a Welsh descendant of Windrush, it's likely that a lot of your family would come from maybe Cardiff Bay or Tiger Bay, however it was called to your family. But then really for you, it would have to be maybe going to Nottingham and discovering more of that side to then be able to connect the dots, kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. And so my grandmother's a chef and she's fantastic. Oh my God, the curry goat is amazing. The dumplings are fantastic. But that was a thing that I had to learn later in life because we didn't spend loads of time with them. I didn't spend much time in Ireland with dad's side, didn't spend much time in Nottingham and Northampton with mum's side. So I wasn't used to this kind of culture of food. And now whenever we go, I'm a vegetarian now, and yet I ate curry goat on the weekend. Let me just be honest with myself.
I feel like I understand your reasonings.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I was a veggie for a long time, and then
really?
When I walked past some chicken, I was like, oh my God,
I can't say no.
I haven't been a veggie for a couple of years now.
I love that. I think that's where I'm headed, if I'm being honest with myself. But there were so many cultural things that I just didn't see and understand. I mean, like, I looked around at school and no one had hair like me. No one had skin like me. My body was different. And these are things that now I'm celebrating. Only now I'm 23 and it's becoming, you know, it's more part of my life and rhetoric and experience now than it was as a kid. And I'm, you know, I'm speaking to my grandmother more about our family history. I think there's a lot that I've not been told. And I want to understand, you know, the stories of what our family journey has been so far. I've still not been to Jamaica. That's outrageous. Oh my God, yes.
Honestly, it's like, but also in terms of being a person of Jamaican descent, once you then go to Jamaica, maybe this is just me, but I feel like I've spoken to a lot of people of Jamaican descent in various places, that once you go to Jamaica, it's like something does connect with you.
Yes.
I'm very much Welsh, but I'm also very much Jamaican. So for me, when I went to Jamaica, especially as an adult, I was kind of like, okay, I make sense now.
This makes sense. And it's this thing as well, like there's little things in my life that I've gone, oh, no wonder. So I remember listening to, I think it was the Rihanna album Loud. And I, before that, had been so obsessed. Like Hilary Duff was my idol, this beautiful blonde white woman. And I remember listening to Loud, the album. And do you remember the song Man Down, which has a heavy like reggae rhythm? And I just was like, oh my God, there was something that ignited my soul. And and it's, you know, it's not traditional in any sense and it's heightened pop in lots of ways. But I was like, oh,
this. I feel that was much more like towards dancehall than pop, that song though. That's just one.
Absolutely. And but it was that thing where I was like, I was like, there's something about this song that is just igniting my soul, because and I hadn't heard rhythms like that in the music I was consuming. I listened to a lot of white artists, a lot of like white pop American, and there's so many things like that. Or you know, when you go to certain events and certain songs come on, I'm like, I'm dancing a specific way that feels so connected to my ancestry. Mm-hmm. And I was like, these things I started to uncover more recently. And I'm like, okay, there's a whole side of me I haven't allowed myself to experience.
Well, I wouldn't say haven't allowed. I just feel like maybe you just haven't been in the right spaces to do that.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. And it came apparent as well in, I moved to London when I was 16. And this is a weird thing where I remember really strongly feeling like I was too black in Cardiff. And once I went to London, I was seen as too white.
Okay.
People freaked out when I bought my first pair of Nike trainers. Freaked out. They were like, oh my God, Lily's got fresh crepes. And it was this whole thing. And there's so many things, even though that is not a massive cultural signifier, I think they just saw me as so white from Wales.
Okay.
That even amongst friends and socially, I felt like I couldn't be black.
Okay.
So there's this whole kind of, I'm on a journey.
I think within that, and I've had to deal with not similar things, but in terms of most of the time, and I feel like 80% of the time when I leave Wales, people always say, oh, there's black people in Wales, or oh, there's Jamaican people in Wales. Yeah. And I think that's more of a case of our stories are not necessarily told as much as they should be. So I feel like obviously us doing things like this and just trying to just tell our stories in however way they come, I just think it's really important, because people do have this image of Wales and what people from Wales look like. Yeah. And then people come to Wales and like, oh, you've got this and you've got that, and not everyone is looked like this. So I've been trying to tell people for a few years now, but I think that comes along with that, where our stories are not told as frequently as they should be, then people have this perception of what people from Wales must look like.
We're like, and I have it so much with the Welsh language. I'll be with my best friend, Mabli Gwyn, and we're walking around. She's quite known in the Welsh community with acting and singing, and people greet her, start speaking Welsh, and they'll turn to me and went, do you speak Welsh?
Wow.
Every time. And it's that thing where I'm I think that whole identity crisis is kind of going, I can't quite fit into the Welsh, I don't quite fit into Black because of gaps in my understanding and perception of people, how people see me. I used to be told a lot that I was, you're very well spoken.
Oh, thanks so much.
It was always a shock. Always a shock. You're so eloquent. And I was like, oh.
Right.
Okay. So it's just fighting these different parts. Not fighting, mm-hmm. but understanding and accepting these different parts of me.
And then often it's not that it's a perception of you of yourself, it's other people's perceptions of you. Now you're wondering what perception they must have before you've even met them or known them or spoken to them.
Absolutely. And this is completely a tangential like comment, but it's like dating. And especially in Cardiff, when I see someone I fancy, I look at them and the first thought I realise I have is, I wonder if they're interested in Black girls.
Yeah.
Always the first thought, because I'm like, my assumption is that they won't be, based on all this stuff that I've taken on from other people's perceptions of me. And it's just, I'm finding this stuff very fascinating, this kind of internal bias based on gaps in knowledge and my understanding of the perception of me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But I don't feel like that's a thing necessarily specific to you. So don't feel like you're on your own in dealing with any of these.
Absolutely.
It's just maybe where you're like, not just realizing, but just coming to terms with these things. They're kind of maybe new thoughts for you. I'm not sure.
Yes.
But I do feel like, I do wonder similar things.
Do you? Do you have that kind of thought?
I try not to date. I just want to sing.
I'm doing me. Everyone else, stay away.
But I do feel like, and I feel like because, again, how we spoke about the narrative, especially living in Wales and being from Wales, it's kind of you have to think more because other people aren't necessarily telling your story, you know?
Yes. Did you find, like, was Windrush a massive part of your education at school? Did you have any education?
No. Never. It's only because of my family that we're still very... So my dad's mum especially, and my parents made sure I always knew as well, but my dad's mum especially, we always talk about family stories and, like, the year they came here and how they came here. So my grandpa came on a boat, but my nan didn't want to go on a boat, so she came on a plane.
Okay.
So there's like I've been lucky in knowing so many of our stories, but had I been left to school, I wouldn't even know. I would not have known of what Windrush was or anything until maybe the internet as an adult. That's literally the only time I would have known.
It's mental. It's mental, and it's frustrating to me that hasn't been part of our kind of education, because I would have benefited from it younger. And I think lots of people were just understanding the history and how, you know, culturally then that affected the docks in different areas in the UK and, you know, the way music changed and the way, you know, food changed within these communities based on, you know, who was coming here. And then, I just find it fascinating.
So do you find, like, within your music now, maybe you kind of realising more things as you're growing, do you feel like you want to include more of these things now to be spoken about? And then that then is a platform for more of your story really to be shared.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like I'm going to end up doing some kind of deep dive into family history. And I love stories. That's the reason I got into music. That's the reason I write music. And I think it's important to voice stories that we haven't heard yet. And I'm really passionate about learning these stories, speaking to my grandmother, speaking to other relatives, and then my own perception of them, what that looks like and how that might have been. But also, I've got a bit of a, like, my kind of fight at the moment is to do with, it's a weirdy, weird thing to try and explain, but, like, not being presented as this perfect Black person. And what I mean by that is, because everyone's coming to me for, like, stories on race and how I feel about this, like, certain media outlets phone me all the time, go, will you just give this opinion and will you have a chat about this and what do you think of this? And I'm like, just because we're suddenly having this narrative now,
we're
I'm looking forward to the answer. That's it. I don't know the answer, and I'm looking forward to taking the time to find my way of articulating my understanding of my history, family, race, where I've come from.
Yeah.
That I'm really looking forward to.
I'm glad that you're looking forward to uncovering these things, and I'm glad these things are uncovering for you, hopefully naturally as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And I definitely do feel like we need a group trip to Jamaica.
Oh my God, yes, please.
Amplify Abroad. Maybe that's a whole new series. We can work on a whole new series.
Yes.
I feel like it would be cool though.
Jamaica.
I feel like it's important to be in the space of where you come from, literally.
Yeah.
But I also know that's not always easy to attain to be able to do that. But I mean, hey, if anyone's listening and wants to sponsor a group trip abroad, Amplify Abroad, let us know. So you have a song to perform for us, don't
yes.
you? Yes. What is this song? What is it about? And why did you choose it today?
This song is called Dream. It's a song, it's the quickest song I've ever written, weirdly. Usually they take ages, and it just came to me. And I think I was feeling quite lost in who I was and not knowing where I fit in. And kind of felt like I was being pulled in many directions and having different opinions placed on me. And, you know, based off what we've spoken today, it feels quite fitting. So yeah, this is Dream.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lost my soul in an empty dream. Saw the light and it saw me. And I pray between my broken sheets, not as soft as they used to be. Lay me down so I can sleep. Take all that you want from me, 'cause I don't need your honesty. Maybe you'll come back to me. Turn down lights and on the floor, your words mean nothing. That you could hear my cries, but you still couldn't empathize. So I rest my head and I close my eyes. I am tired of restless nights and fears of where my shadows lie. My light seems too hard to find. I can't sleep until morning light.
Amplify, stories about youth music in Wales, is produced by Anthem Cronfagerdd Cymru Music Fund Wales, creating a Wales in which music can empower every young life. This episode of Amplify was funded by Race Council Cymru to celebrate National Windrush Day 2022, created in partnership with T Cerdd Studios. Amplify is produced by Tori Silman and Rian Hutchins, with voiceovers by Tori Silman, studio production by Connor Morgans, music by Blankface, and original concept by Ify Iwobi. Find out more about Anthem at www.anthem.wales.